was a process. Process. What is transformation? What does that mean to you, the word transformation? What do you think of when you think of transformation?
To change.
To change. Good. What else? You think of those transformer toys there used to be. Who ever had one of those? And what did it change into? It changed from one type to another, didn't it? Sarah used to play with them all the time. No, that's not true. It was Dave. But they changed. You could transform them. And they would look very different from what they looked before. Yeah, that's right. From a car to a superhero. That's right. It was amazing. And we are commanded by God in Romans chapter 12 to be transformed. Why does he want to transform us? You think, why does God want you and I to be transformed? Come on. Why does he want us to? Say again? To save us? In part, yes. Yeah. Okay. What else? To be holy as he is holy? Yep. Why? What's the purpose of that? Communion. Connecting with us. God wants us to be transformed for a variety of reasons, some of which we've already said. To change us to become more like him so that we can connect with him more easily. You know, it's much easier to connect with God when your hands are clean and your heart's pure than it is when you are filled with hatred and animosity and bitterness and all those other things. But it's another reason too. There's another very practical reason that God wants us to be transformed while we're here. Very practical reason. Stand against the enemy. Jesus said, here comes the ruler of this world, but he has nothing in me. What does he mean? He has nothing in me. What does that mean? It means that Jesus could say, there's no area in my life that the enemy can hook into because my life is submitted to the Father. So I don't have animosity towards people. I'm not holding unforgiveness towards people. No bitterness, no lust. There's no area of my life, Jesus is saying, that the devil could hook into. He hooks into areas of darkness. That's where he hooks into us. Transformation, be ye transformed. Let's read it first here. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How do you get transformed? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. What does that mean, by the renewing of your mind? It means that your mind has to be actively engaged in the process of transformation. Can't do without it. And that transformation, what is the material that feeds your mind? The Word of God. The Word of God is what God intended to feed our minds so that we can be transformed. But just reading it, there are many people that have read the Word. And they're theologians, really, some of them. They've read the Word, but it's knowledge. It hasn't moved from knowledge. And so they can argue all of the theology they like, but they have not come to the place where they know God. How is that accomplished? How do you know God? His Word, is a definition of God. His Word defines Him. God is not limited to that, but He is that. God, His Word is an expression of who He is. So as you and I read that Word, We are learning about the character, the attributes, the thought life, the decisions, all of the essence of who God is. It shows us his relationship with people. You can see how he related to David, for example, in the Bible. How he related to Saul, who became Paul. How he related to his disciples. We see the workings of God in relationships. And that helps us to understand how God operates. But there's something even more in there. The words Jesus in John chapter 6, I think it's verse 63, Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you," the word of God, "is a living word. It's life, it's spiritual. It is spirit and it's life." I don't think many people really understand what that means. I think that even as we start to understand it, we absorb that by degrees. What Jesus is saying is that the Bible, the Word of God, is a spiritual part of God. It's a living Word. There is a power in every portion, in every word, in every scripture. There is a power. There's a power. Now that power just sits there. Much like in the healing course when I taught about when Jesus was teaching in a home and the power of the Lord was present to heal those who came to the course. Remember that? Was anyone being healed? No, because no one was drawing on that. In much the same way, the Word of God has a power, a spiritual power. But if you don't draw on that spiritual power, it can't help you. Same as you could have Jesus sitting in the midst, right among us. But if no one makes a demand on the healing anointing of Christ, he could leave the room and no one gets healed. Not because they couldn't be, but because they didn't draw on that. The word of the Lord has a spiritual power in it. Now the essence of that power, how is it released? By faith. By faith, speaking the word, but by faith. How can I get it to become faith in me? How can I take a portion of Scripture and make it part of me? Soaking. So simple, soaking. Soaking in that word. What do you mean soaking in it? You read it. You reread it. You pray over it. You talk to God about it. You tell God, "I want to understand. What does it mean he himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses? What does it mean, Lord? Explain that to my spirit." How do I know he'll do that? How do I know he will? Can I guarantee you he will? How can I do that? How can I guarantee? There is a way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Let me read it to you. I'm going to read to you from the interpreted part here. All right, the things which God has prepared for those who love him, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, okay, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So we read the scripture and we say, okay, Lord, what does that mean? Well, the Holy Spirit then, what he does is that he interprets, reveals, and communicates spiritual truths to spiritual people. Holy Spirit to my spirit. That is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. So he takes that portion of Scripture and it begins to become alive in me. It begins to come to life inside of me. Faith begins to rise up. Faith begins to rise up. But I'm soaking in that word. I'm soaking in it. And I'm saying, God, I want to understand this. I want this word to be living in me. I want it to come alive inside of my spirit. I want to, and it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't have to be this one, it can be anyone. Anyone that you need, any portion of scripture that applies to your circumstance. Any portion. As you soak in that scripture and you pray over it, you invest yourself into it. You know, God said, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. So that it cannot be a casual 10 or 15 minute whatever. That's not going to get the job done. It's not. If you think of, if you wanted to become an athlete, that's not going to happen by exercising 5 minutes a day. You have to invest yourself in it. You invest yourself. When God is, he's looking for someone who will invest themselves in his word. Invest. The transformation is a process that can be very threatening. Very threatening. People don't like change. Most people. They don't like change. They don't like change. It brings anxiety to the surface. So what do we do about that? Because God's purpose is to transform us. What is he targeting? He's targeting the areas where the enemy has done the most damage. And there's lots of areas for people, lots of them, in our thought life, in our emotions, even in our body. People have been hurt and wounded and everything else. And we carry them around with us. Years ago I did a message, I can't remember the name of it, but it was a visual message. Boy, it's got to be 20 years. And I carried it. There was a chain behind me with all the stuff. I walked around with a chain and it had boxes. And on the boxes were written potential wounds and hurts and so forth. And that we carry those with us. Anyone ever see Scrooge? You remember Marley, what he carried behind him? Well, we do that too. We do that. But we don't have to. We can get rid of that if we want to, and if we're willing to invest in it. But it takes, it really does take investment. It takes an investment. Because we get deeply ingrained habits and responses to situations and circumstances, and over the years they become a familiar, if not a comforting, habit. Even if it's unhealthy, it's our go-to response. And God comes along and says, I want to set you free from that. And although we sort of want to be free, there's a part of us that's grown familiar to it. It's a comfort. And changing that is scary. Quick prayers do not typically work, especially over things that have been there for years. Quick prayers over situations that deeply influence our lives. It's like taking an aspirin for a brain tumor. It may very, very briefly reduce the pain, very briefly, but it does nothing to fight the disease. Permanent change, permanent healing, permanent restoration, that takes place and can only take place when your inner being, that's your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, get completely involved in the transformation process. That takes commitment. It takes commitment. It takes a commitment to say, Lord, I see what your word says here. I want that in my life. I don't have it at the moment. But I'm going to pray over this and soak in this until it becomes real to me. Until it becomes real. You know how we the scripture we've been saying for years now. What is it? Now, is that more meaningful than it was 5 years ago? If it's not, you're in real trouble. Why is it more meaningful? Because we speak it. Even if you only heard it in here. Because we speak it. It becomes meaningful. It becomes meaningful. Scripture is meant to do that. That's how it's meant to work. It's not meant to work here, but it must go through here. It must go through here. This part of me has got to be engaged in the process of transformation. It's got to be. My mind must cooperate with the transformation process. And I see in the word of the Lord something that I need and don't have. Or I have a little bit and need more of. Even if it's wisdom. Even if it's, you know, the Bible says if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. Are there any conditions?
No doubting.
No doubting. So how do you get to the place of no doubting? How do you get to that place? Soaking in experience. You soak in it until God gives you wisdom. You begin to experience that wisdom, and that wisdom reinforces your belief. That's like today, do I believe God heals? Yes, I do. Why do I believe that? Well, because His Word says so, primarily. But I have seen it and experienced it and been involved with it hundreds of times. Hundreds, maybe thousands, I'm not sure, but hundreds of times. Each time reinforces for the next. When you pray for something from the Lord and you begin to experience that, even a little bit of it, That experience can become the support for the next level of belief. Because faith grows. Faith grows. Transformation is a process. And some transformations require deep commitment because it's an agonizing experience. For some who have gone through terrible things, terrible. Just think of people who at the time came through the Holocaust and the images, or even the soldiers coming back now with PTSD, the images that have been ingrained into them or the experiences that they've had to go through. You think of the Holocaust victims who have lost family members. There are deeply embedded wounds in these people, deeply. And a quick prayer over them isn't going to resolve it. It isn't going to. Can God heal them? Of course He can. Of course He can. But it takes an investment. An investment where the mind is involved with taking the scriptures that apply to whatever the circumstance may be, even if it's forgiveness. And soaking in those, soaking in them, and staying in the presence of God. Staying in the presence of God long enough for God to affect you. And I don't just mean with that scripture, I mean to affect your life. Being in the presence of God long enough so that His inner strength is imparted inside of you. You know, I don't know how many remember the soaking nights we used to have. But after an hour and a half, things started to happen. We started to experience God in ways that weren't there an hour and a half earlier. But it takes investment to do that. It takes investment. When I've stayed in the presence of God for 3, 4, 5 hours, it's been amazing what's happened. Just amazing. It's a sense of God that absolutely wasn't there before. But it takes an investment to do that. I'm too busy. Well, then do without. That's really the bottom line. We make choices. We make choices. And I know we have lots of responsibilities, but I'm telling you, I mean, I worked full-time in the government, was married, had two kids, and still managed to spend 4 or 5 hours every night in the Word of God. I didn't watch TV. There was no internet. Because I needed that. We make choices. We make choices. What's important to you? What do you really want? What do you really want? What is worth investing your life into? There are some things we must do. But outside of that, and we can always ask God, Lord, help me to find the time to be with you. 100 years from now, will the things that you're doing Monday to Friday matter that much? Really? You think about that. That the things that occupy our time right now, will they matter in 100 years? Will it influence the direction of my life? Because one day, every single person in this room is going to stand before the Lord. Every person, there are no exceptions, every one of us. And God is going to evaluate your life completely. And there'll be no hiding anything from Him. He will evaluate everything you've ever said or done that hasn't been put under the blood. That helps motivate me, I assure you. I think about that. I think about when I stand in front of Jesus, and of course you know the scripture that we who teach will be judged more strictly. God means what He says. He means, but His word is able to bring transformation and bring wholeness into every part of your life. Every part. Every part. We need to bring our thinking into under the control of the Holy Spirit, because by doing that, it brings an inner peace, a supernatural inner peace, even in the most difficult circumstances. How do you know that? Well, I just read it to you from the book of Acts, didn't I? Paul and Silas, they're in prison, they've been beaten, they're whipped, they're bleeding, they're naked. I mean, this is not a fun party. And yet, even in all of that, their thinking did not turn to, how could this happen to me? Where did their thinking go? To God, to praising God. Now, that didn't happen by accident. It did not happen by accident. Why do you think it happened? Say it again. What does that mean? They had the habit of doing it. They had the habit of doing it. They had the habit of turning to God and worshiping God. Now, Paul, once he got saved, Paul's life wasn't all fun and games. This is a man who was stoned, beaten, whipped. They had 40 people covet to kill him, or they wouldn't eat again. I mean, he had to be let down through a hole in the wall because there were so many people trying to kill him. This man had a lot of difficulties to deal with. A lot of difficulties. But he was so connected to God that they were nothing. That's available to you and I. That's available to you and I. We can have that if we want to. I'm not talking about exactly Paul's ministry. I don't mean that. I mean the connection with God can be so deep that regardless of circumstances in our lives, we still have the joy of the Lord. Still have that. You can have God's power flowing through you if you'll pay the price. If you'll pay the price. If you will submit your life to God. The transformation process is God removing from us the old carnal nature ways and changing our thinking and our attitudes and our behavior into such that looks like Him. Looks like Him. Sounds like Him. So that ultimately, when we go to heaven, we won't be shocked to death, because we'll already be in communion with God. We'll already be connected to the Holy Spirit. Do you know, in the book of Acts, when you look at the disciples, the apostles, in Acts 2, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know they got refilled in Acts 4? And then they got refilled again and again and again. Why was that necessary, do you think? Were they just leaky guys or what? Why was it necessary?
Because you need to be renewed.
Why?
Where you're the body, you're going to be much more much, but you need to be reminded.
Because in a daily life, we can use what we have and it just kind of runs out. And we need more. We need more. We need more. We need more. And as Christians, we have a unique position before God, because we can be refilled. We can be refilled. Now, we live in a world that's really anti-Christ. You see that everywhere. Everywhere. So I'm not telling you this is an easy thing to do. I'm telling you it's the only thing to do. It's the only thing to do. Because when time comes for you to go, or the Lord returns, you'll be able to look back on your life and say to yourself, thank God. Thank God that I hung on to Jesus, that I let the Spirit of God fill me. And in the meantime, you're going to get prayers answered that otherwise would never be answered. You'll have peace and wisdom of God. Let it just flow into your hearts. I read a story just recently, was really interesting. Oh yes, the American Thanksgiving, when the pilgrims came over in, I don't remember when it was. It was the year of birth of my mother-in-law. 1621. That was sin. Anyway, the pilgrims come over in 1621. And their first winter was pretty rough. They had a rough time. The Indians befriended them and they helped them all out and so forth. But by the second winter, things got really bad. And it was a drought that came in. And that drought was so severe that they were at the point of losing everything. Absolutely everything. And of the 102 that originally came over, only 51 were still alive. And the Indians were suffering equally. So what the head of the pilgrims did is he called them to prayer. Called them to prayer. And when they gathered together at 9 a.m., they started praying. Now, they were a lot like us, because they didn't actually get the prayer until they had endured months of drought. It was like when one guy said to the other, the situation's so bad, I think we should pray. And the fellow said to him, has it come to that? Has it come to that? So they began to pray at 9 a.m. By 11, nothing. Noon, nothing. 2 in the afternoon, nothing. 4 o'clock, a small cloud appears in the sky. Small cloud. Keep praying. They're praying all day, praying and thanking God for the rain. 6 o'clock, it starts to rain. It rained for 2 solid weeks, and not the kind of rain that they typically get in that area, which they call it the nor'easter rain. Does anybody know what that means? It's unpleasant rain. It's like it pounds you. It ruins everybody. When it comes down, it's not a nice rain. It just, anyways, it's like a nor'easter storm. But they had a gentle rain. It rained for 14 days, and it saved all their crops, theirs and the Indians. And as a result of that, the Indian chief came to them and said, I need to know your God. And he ended up getting saved. Now, it's all on the internet, so you can look that up if you want to. Prayer will produce if we will persist. If we will persist. We've lost the art of really praying. Jesus himself, when he had big decisions to make, he prayed all night. All night. Matt read that in the prayer room. Was it Luke 6:12, I think it was, right? He prayed all night. Now, if Jesus had to pray all night, what do you think you and I need to do? You know? I assure you that my relationship with God the Father isn't as good as Jesus's. You know? When he was here. Never mind now. But I can pray. If he can pray, I can pray. You can pray. God will answer your prayers if you will persist. If you will persist. But where I believe the devil has done tremendous damage in general is getting people to think in terms of nanoseconds. You know, that we want something, and if we have to push the button twice, it's annoying. God does not work that way. If you want to connect to the heart of God, you have to invest yourself. That takes hours, not seconds, hours. We're not looking for a muck prayer. We're looking for solid connection with God. Solid connection. And it's available to us. It's available to each and every person in this room. God has no favorites. None. All you have to do is invest yourself. And if you will invest yourself, God will connect with you. God will connect with you. And he will hear and he will answer your prayer. Amen? Hallelujah. I was just reading in Isaiah 33, verse 6, it says, he will be the stability of your life. God will be. Make us stable. Help us to be stable people, not people who are all over the map. The more we get the Word of God in the inside of us, the more stable we're going to be. Lord, help us to hear your word. Help us, Jesus, to receive it, to digest it. I pray, Father, that we will love the word of God, that we will hear your word, we will meditate in your word, that we will hunger for your word. Let none of us miss out, Jesus. Have mercy on us, O God, and help us. Strengthen us, Holy Spirit. Strengthen us to understand and to believe that God wants to connect with us and that we can do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.